All right, welcome to another deep dive with us today.
Yeah, looking forward to this one.
We are tackling a pretty big case today. This one comes out of the Nevada Supreme Court.
Huge implications for corporate law, for sure.
It is Chur v. 8th Judicial District Court, decided back in 2020.
Yep, a landmark case.
I think if you really want to understand when a corporate director can be held liable in Nevada, this is a must-read.
Absolutely essential.
So consider this your crash course on a really pivotal legal concept.
Yeah, we are aiming to really demystify this whole area of director liability in Nevada.
Yeah, when does that corporate shield come down?
Right. When can they actually be held responsible?
And we've got some good stuff to dig through today.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got, of course, the decision itself, ensure we've got a pretty standard case brief that lays it all out.
Their classic legal breakdown.
Exactly. And then I even found a perplexity analysis, which was kind of cool, offered a different perspective.
Always good to have multiple angles.
So today's deep dive, we're focused on this question. Under Nevada law, can corporate directors be held personally liable just because they made a really, really bad decision?
The classic business judgment gone wrong scenario.
Like, we're talking gross negligence here. And the answer, surprisingly to some, I think, is generally no.
Which is why this case is so important. It really clarifies things.
So let's get into it. What happened in Chur?
Okay, so the case involved the former directors of this company, Lewis and Clark LTC Risk Retention Group.
Catchy name.
Right.
What do they even do?
So they were like an insurance company, specifically a risk retention group, but the details aren't super important for our purposes.
Okay, got it.
Anyway, the company went belly up, ended up in liquidation.
Never a good sign.
And that's where the Nevada Insurance Commissioner stepped in, acting as the receiver.
Okay, so what did these directors allegedly do wrong?
Well, the commissioner sued them, right?
Makes sense.
And the allegations were pretty serious. Gross negligence and something called deepening insolvency.
Deepening insolvency. That sounds rough.
Yeah, basically the idea is that they made the company's financial troubles even worse through their actions as the company was already going down.
Oh, I see. Like kicking them while they're down.
Exactly.
So what happened in court?
Well, this is where things get interesting.
Oh, boy.
The directors, they wanted the case dismissed right away.
They'd say, nothing to see here, move along.
Basically.
Okay.
But the district court initially said nope. And they actually relied on an earlier Nevada Supreme Court case, Schuen v. SAC Holding Corp. This was from 2006.
Interesting. So there's already some precedent here.
Right. And some people interpreted Schuen as saying that directors could be liable just for being grossly negligent.
Which, I mean, on the surface, kind of seems fair, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you're really reckless with a company's fate, should there be consequences?
Exactly.
But the directors in Chur had a different take.
What was their defense?
They pointed to this Nevada statute, NRS 78.1387.
All right, statutory shield.
Precisely, they argued that this law protects directors from liability unless there's intentional misconduct, actual fraud, or they knowingly violated the law.
So basically, they're saying gross negligence isn't enough to pierce that corporate veil.
Exactly. And they argued that Schuen was being misread in this context.
Okay, so this NRS 78.1387, clearly this is the heart of the matter.
Couldn't agree more. It's central to this whole case.
Break it down for us. What does this statute actually do?
Well, as the directors argued, it's an exculpatory statute, which is just a fancy way of saying it protects people from liability.
Okay, I get it.
And what the Nevada Supreme Court did ensure was to lay out a clear two-step test to figure out if a director can be held liable even with this protection in place.
Two-step test. All right, hit me with step one.
So the first step, you have to overcome something called the business judgment rule.
Ah, the classic business judgment rule.
You know it.
Refresh our memory, though. What's that all about?
Okay, so this is a really big deal in corporate law.
I've heard of it.
Basically, it means courts start with the assumption that directors acted in good faith.
Meaning they had good intention.
Exactly. They believe the directors acted with due care. They were making decisions in what they thought was the best interest of the company.
Okay, so that's a pretty strong presumption in favor of the directors.
Absolutely. It's a high bar to clear if you want to even question their decisions in court.
You can't just sue every time a company makes a bad move.
Exactly.
Okay, so if you can get past the business judgment rule hurdle, what's next? What's step two?
All right, so step two, this is where Chur really gets interesting.
Wait on us.
Even if you can show the directors messed up, didn't act in good faith, whatever, you then have to prove that this breach of duty involved intentional misconduct, actual fraud, or that they knowingly broke the law.
Okay, so that raises the stakes significantly.
Right. And here's the kicker. The court was very clear that negligence, even gross negligence, just isn't enough under this statute.
Wow. So even if they were really reckless, it's not the same as intentionally doing something wrong.
Exactly. Huge distinction.
Big legal difference.
Right. And the podcast guidance we read for this, they even said this isn't Delaware.
What's that all about?
Well, Delaware is another state where a lot of companies incorporate. They have their own laws, and they might be stricter about what counts as good faith for directors.
Got it. So Nevada is a bit more, let's say, director friendly in this area.
Yeah, you could say that.
So let's really break down this distinction. What's the real difference between gross negligence and something like intentional misconduct?
Okay, so think of gross negligence as being really, really careless.
Like epic fail level carelessness.
Exactly. It's like ignoring obvious warnings, not doing basic things a reasonable director would do.
But it doesn't necessarily mean you wanted a bad outcome.
Right, or that you knew you were breaking the law.
Okay, I'm starting to see the difference.
Like imagine a director who just never bothers to look at the company's financials, even when things are clearly going south.
Yeah, that sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It could be gross negligence for sure.
Yeah.
But they might not be intentionally trying to harm the company.
Right, just being totally oblivious.
Now, intentional misconduct or knowingly violating the law, that's a whole different ballgame.
What would that look like?
That's where you're aware that you're doing something wrong. You know it's illegal, but you do it anyway.
Okay, so there's that element of conscious wrongdoing.
Exactly. And the court actually said, and this is a great quote, they said, knowledge of wrongdoing is an appreciably higher standard than gross negligence.
Appreciably higher. That really puts it into perspective.
It really does.
Now, you mentioned a 10th Circuit case earlier. In Rees-Zaghi, how does that tie into Nevada's approach here?
So the Nevada Supreme Court actually used Zaghi to help define intentional and knowing in the context of this Nevada statute.
Ah, so they borrowed from another court's reasoning.
Exactly. And the key takeaway from Zag is that for a knowing violation, you got to prove the director actually knew their actions were wrong.
Not just that they should have known.
Right. They had actual knowledge.
Okay. Can you give us a real world example of what a knowing violation would look like in this corporate world?
Sure. Imagine a director who knows the company's about to release some cookbooks, you know, financial statements that are totally misleading to pump up the stock price.
Classic pump and dump.
And this director, they go along with it. They approve those statements, knowing they're false. Also, they can sell their own stock before the truth comes out and make a quick buck.
Oh, that's just blatant wrongdoing.
Right. That would likely be a knowing violation. Could even be fraud.
So with this decision, it seems like the court wasn't just explaining the law. They were actually correcting how people were interpreting an earlier case.
That's exactly right. They directly addressed Shum and said, hey, that case doesn't mean what some people think it means.
They cleared up the confusion.
Exactly. And they really hammered home the importance of this statute, they said. I'm quoting here. NRS 78.138-7 provides the sole avenue for liability.
Sole avenue. Wow. They really emphasize that.
Yeah, no other way to hold directors personally liable for money damages in Nevada, unless you can prove intentional misconduct, fraud, or a knowing violation.
And they didn't just say it. They really meant it, right? They granted a writ of mandamus in this case.
Absolutely, which is a pretty big deal.
For those of us who aren't legal experts, what does that mean exactly?
So a writ of mandamus is like a higher court telling a lower court, you got to do this specific thing.
An order from on high.
Exactly. And in Chur, the Supreme Court told the district court, toss out those claims based on just gross negligence.
A case closed.
So what does this all mean for our listeners? Why should they care about Chur?
Okay, so first of all, this case really strengthens Nevada's reputation as a place that's friendly to corporate directors.
Good news for directors. Maybe not so much for those trying to hold them accountable.
Well, it depends on your perspective.
Yeah.
But it means if you're a director of a company in Nevada, you've got pretty strong protection from personal liability.
As long as you're not intentionally doing shady stuff. Right. You're generally safe from being sued for bad judgment or even major oversights.
Makes you wonder, though, does that make it too easy for directors to escape responsibility?
It's a valid question, for sure.
Like, what about shareholders, the people who invested in these companies?
Well, they might have a tougher time seeking recourse if they feel a director messed up, but wasn't intentionally being bad.
Interesting point. So it's a bit of a trade-off.
Right. It's about balancing different interests, protecting directors and attracting businesses to Nevada, but also ensuring there's some accountability.
Makes you think about the big picture, for sure.
Absolutely.
So if someone's thinking about suing a director in Nevada, what does CHUR mean for them?
Well, let's just say it's going to be a lot harder.
The bar is high.
Yeah. You can't just say, oh, they were negligent. You got to show intentional misconduct, fraud, or that they knowingly broke a specific law.
Big difference.
Huge. And that means plaintiffs need to do a much deeper investigation, really find that smoking gun evidence.
And what about for aspiring lawyers?
Oh, CHUR's full of lessons.
What are the takeaways?
Well, if you're going to be a corporate lawyer advising directors,
you'd come out of trouble.
Exactly. You got to stress the importance of good documentation.
Dotting your I's and crossing your T's.
Right. Show that decisions were made in good faith with careful thought.
Cover your bases.
Absolutely. And stay far, far away from anything that could look like intentional wrongdoing.
Don't even go near that line.
And if you're going to be a litigator going after these directors,
trying to hold them accountable.
Exactly. You got to be laser focused.
Okay. How so?
You got to find proof of the state of mind. What do they know? When did they know it?
Looking for those incriminating emails, meeting minutes, anything that shows they knew they were doing wrong.
Exactly. It's a different kind of lawyering altogether.
And the case itself, CHUR, it's kind of a reminder that the law isn't always clear cut.
Oh, absolutely. Interpretation is everything.
Like, even with Schuin, an earlier Supreme Court decision, there was this ambiguity. People weren't sure how it applied to this statute.
And that's what good lawyering is all about, making those arguments, clarifying those gray areas.
And that's what the CHUR court did. They said, look, this is what the statute says, plain and simple, and that's what we're going with.
They prioritized the actual words of the law over broader interpretations.
Back to basics.
Exactly.
And then we have this business judgment rule. It keeps coming up. It's such a fundamental principle.
It really is the bedrock for a lot of corporate law.
It gives directors that initial benefit of the doubt.
Exactly. They can make mistakes. They can have bad outcomes as long as they were acting in good faith.
They're not going to be second-guessed at every turn.
Right. It's not about being perfect. It's about being honest and careful.
And that perplexity analysis we mentioned earlier, they brought up an interesting point about willful blindness.
Oh, yeah, that's a tricky one.
Like, what if a director just deliberately avoids learning about something shady that's going on?
Right. It's not exactly intentional misconduct, but it's not exactly innocent either.
It's that gray area we were talking about.
Exactly. And under CHUR, even if that willful blindness is really bad, rises to the level of gross negligence, it might still not be enough to hold the director liable.
So what about that deepening insolvency thing? Sounds like a situation where directors should be held responsible.
Well, the court in CHUR actually dismissed that too.
Really?
Yeah, because usually deepening insolvency claims are based on the idea that directors should have known they were making things worse.
Like they were being negligent in how they handled the company's financial problems.
Exactly. But as we've discussed, negligence isn't enough under NRS 78.1387.
You got to prove intent.
Exactly. So unless you can show that they intentionally drove the company further into the ground, maybe for their own personal gain, those claims are likely going to fail.
Wow. So CHUR really does draw a bright line.
It does. And that's a big deal for anyone involved with businesses in Nevada.
All right. So key takeaway time. What's the one thing our listener should remember from all this?
Okay. Here it is. In Nevada, just saying a director was grossly negligent, that's not enough to hold them personally liable for money.
You got to show they were intentionally bad or they knew they were breaking the law.
Exactly. And that's a big protection for directors in Nevada.
A lot to think about.
For sure.
So our final thought for our listeners today, Nevada has made it pretty clear they're on the side of protecting directors.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that affect where companies choose to incorporate?
Right. If you know you're going to get that extra layer of protection in Nevada, maybe that makes it more attractive.
It's like a business advantage.
Could be, but it also raises questions about accountability, right?
Exactly. Is it too director friendly?
Does it make it harder to hold people responsible when things go wrong?
Lots to ponder there.
Definitely something to keep in mind.
Thanks for diving deep with us today.
Always a pleasure.
We'll catch you in the next one.
See you then.